Today's teaching will be on Luke, and so I invite our sister Roma up to read that scripture. And then afterwards, we'll invite Kristen up and Charlotte as well.
I'm going to read in Nepali, and English presentation will be here, so it is easy for us. Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52. So, would you not mind to stand while I'm reading the Bible? Wahaka amabua nista chaharma prati varsha Yerusalem jane garthe. जब येशु 12 वर्षको हुनुभयो तब उहाँहरू चाडको रीति अनुसार यरुशलेममा जानुभयो चाडका दिन सिद्धिएपछि तिनीहरू फर्कँदा बालक येशु यरुशलेममै रहनुभयो यो चाहिँ उहाँका आमाबुवाले थाहा पाएनन् उहाँ यात्रीहरूको दलमा हुनुहुन्छ भनी ठानेर तिनीहरू एक दिशा दिनको बाटो गए उहाँलाई तिनीहरूले नातेदार र चिनजानेहरूका बिचमा खोजे तर नभेटाउँदा तिनीहरू उहाँलाई खोज्दै फेरि यरुशलेममा फर्के तीन दिनपछि तिनीहरूले उहाँलाई मन्दिरमा शिक्षकहरूका बिचमा बसेर तिनीहरूका कुरा सुन्दै तिनीहरूलाई प्रश्न गरिरहनु भएको भेटाए सुन्नेहरू सबै उहाँको समझ शक्ति र उहाँको उत्तरहरूमा छक्क पर्दथे उहाँलाई देखेर उहाँका आमा बाबु चकित भए र उहाँकी आमाले भनिन् छोरो तिमीले हामीलाई यो के गरेको हेर तिम्रो बाबु र म हैरान भएर तिमीलाई खोजिरहेका थियौँ उहाँले तिनीहरूलाई भन्नुभयो तपाईँहरूले मलाई किन खोज्नुभएको के म आफ्ना पिताको घरमा हुनुपर्छ भन्ने तपाईँहरूलाई थाहा थिएन तर उहाँले तिनीहरूलाई भन्नुभएको कुरा तिनीहरूले बुझेनन् तब उहाँ तिनीहरूसँग नासरत जानुभयो र तिनीहरूका आज्ञाकारी भई बस्नुभयो उहाँकी आमाले यी सबै कुरा आफ्नो मनमा राखिन् अनि येशु बुद्धिमा कदमा र परमेश्वर र मानिसहरूको अनुग्रहमा बढ्दै जानुभयो आमेन हेभ अ सिट गॉड ब्लेस
So great to be here to just sit and enjoy worship, but I do get to pray for Kristen, so let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come and pour out your power on my sister Kristen. Open our hearts, God, to receive what you have for us today and give her freedom and joy in bringing forth what you have prepared in her heart. We bless you, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And thank you, Roma, for reading the scripture. Like many of you, I imagine, our family just returned from traveling with our kids over the holidays. It was a lot of family. And there were some moments. My kids adore their aunts and their uncles and their cousins. And so once we're finally all together, they're off. Some days when I'm with my whole family, I barely see them for the whole entire day. My six-year-old loves to play games with his five-year-old cousin. And they will play games together for hours and hours and hours with no parents intervening. And my sister has a two-year-old daughter who loves my oldest son, and she follows him everywhere. And she talks to him in her cute little two-year-old voice, and she tries to get him to tell her stories over and over and over again. And she even got him to carry her around on his back for almost a whole entire day. My son loves little kids. He is 12 this year. 12 is a strange in-between age. Sometimes I catch a glimpse of him, and it's like he's grown. Sometimes he says things, and it's like I'm talking to an adult. And then there's other times when it's not that way. Like when I look in on him at night and he's fallen asleep, and there he is, my baby. I remember the day he was born like it was 5 days ago. It's hard to be the parent of a 12-year-old, and this holiday, oh boy. Like I was saying, our family just got back from our annual holiday travels to Jerusalem for the Passover holiday. It's a huge journey. It takes about 4 or 5 days to walk from Nazareth all the way down to Jerusalem, which is a challenge with little ones. But Jesus has always asked to go, and Joseph and I feel that it's important for all our children, and especially Jesus, to experience Jerusalem firsthand, to experience the Passover at the temple firsthand, to know what it's like. Because that's how they'll know that they are a part of Yahweh's story. That's how they'll know that Yahweh's story is their story. That's how they'll learn the ways of the I Am God. So we go. Again, this year, we packed the whole family up, along with food and our camping gear, and we made the trek. There was a huge group of us traveling down from Nazareth this year, and on the way home, I started out walking with my sister-in-law, and I was carrying our littlest baby, and we were having a great conversation, and our kids, our older kids, were scattered among all of the other various cousins and aunts and uncles and friends, and Joseph was up ahead with some of the men, and it was a glorious day. People were singing as they walked, and they were joking, and they were telling stories, and so it wasn't until we set up camp that first night that I realized that Jesus was nowhere to be seen. At first, I really wasn't all that worried. He has always had an independent streak. I figured he'd just gone off on some other little adventure and we'd see him soon enough once he got hungry. But then when we finished up dinner and we were packing food away for the night and he still wasn't anywhere, I was starting to get worried. And then by the time everyone had set up their bedding to go to sleep and people were starting to turn in for the evening and there was no Jesus, I was terrified. I wanted to run out right then and start looking for him, but our relatives persuaded Joseph and I that we should wait until the morning because it was no good for us to head back in the dark searching for our son. And so we did, and it was a sleepless night. I kept thinking about this awful night that we had had years ago when Joseph woke up from this dream, a nightmare more like, in which an angel had told him that our family needed to pack up and leave our house as fast as we could go if we were to save Jesus from Herod's men. And so we raced out of our house with barely more than the clothing that we were wearing. And we got on the road to Egypt and we ran as fast as we could, trying to put as many miles as we possibly could between us and Herod's soldiers so that we could save our son's life. But on this night on our way home from the Passover, there were no dreams. There was no angel. No message from God. Just a missing son. I had been trusted with the Savior of the whole world, and I lost him. When Jesus was a baby, our lives were filled with many amazing signs and wonders. There was, you know, the message, you've all heard the story. There was the angel Gabriel who came and told me that I was going to be the mother of the Savior. There was my cousin Elizabeth with her own miracle baby. There were those strange lords from some far off country. I never did quite figure out where they were coming from, who came bearing some rather unusual gifts. But ever since we moved back to Nazareth a few years ago, being the mother of Jesus has become almost normal. Joseph set up a carpentry shop in town. We were blessed with 6 more children, James, Joseph Jr., Simon, Judas, our 2 daughters. There was no need for any more angels or messengers from God or dreams. Anyway, that night, finally morning came, and at first light, Joseph and I set off on the road going back to Jerusalem. We called out for Jesus until our voices were hoarse. We asked everyone who passed by if they'd seen a 12-year-old walking alone on the road, and of course, no one had. For 3 days, we looked. 3 days. I couldn't stop remembering my nightmares of Herod's soldiers. For 3 days, we peered around every rock, bracing ourselves that we might see Jesus' crumpled body. For 3 days, I was afraid he was dead. I found myself wishing, imagining, hoping that the angel Gabriel would show up again and tell us what to do. But there was no angel, no message from God. And then, on the morning of the 3rd day, there he was. Very much alive, right in front of us. In the temple courts, he had gathered around him all the scribes and the rabbis and the teachers, and he was teaching them. I was so relieved, and I was so angry, and the adrenaline that had been coursing through my body for 3 days, child, I said, child, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been searching for you for 3 days, anxiously. And he said, why were you searching for me? Did you not know I was to be about my father's business? He said it in a way that stunned me. It was more than simply the maturity of the words. It was his otherness. Did you not know that I must be about my father's house? Well, no, actually, I did not know that. How was I? You're my little boy. Simeon and Anna's pronouncements in the temple were so long ago. The shepherds, the singing angels, the 4 lords who called you king. So long ago. No, I did not know that Jesus was supposed to be about his father's business. Raising Jesus has not been at all what I expected. Perhaps for some of you, Jesus has not been at all what you expected either. He is not to be found in our fuzzy Christmas memories of the way things used to be or the way we wish things could be. Jesus is about the future. Jesus was born and lived and died and rose so that he could be about God's business of putting an end to our searching, so that he could make plain the way of God, even if that means shattering our expectations. And there he was in the temple, going about his Father's business, shattering my expectations. Oh, Lord, help me. Hannah gave her Samuel to God when he was barely a weaned toddler. And then she saw him once a year after that. And every time she went to the temple to visit her son on the holiday, she would bring to him a little coat that she'd made over the course of the past year, imagining somehow the way that mothers do, how much he must have grown since the last time she'd seen him. Every stitch in that coat, a prayer. Oh, Lord, help me. Could I be as strong as Hannah and give my Jesus to God? I don't think I am ready for that yet. I have many ideas and hopes and dreams for who Jesus ought to be. That old priest Simeon said that Jesus would be a sword that would pierce my soul. And now I think I know a taste of what he was talking about. But I have been pondering Jesus in my heart for 12 or 13 years now. You know that because Luke says so twice. And I do know this, that his calling is not simply about me, because that would be too small. That if the Messiah is to save the world by turning it upside right again, then the Messiah will turn me upside right in the process too. Child, there is so much of your Father's business to be about. Are you ready? Jesus, Messiah of the world, even if I never see another angel or get another visit from the strange lords bringing incredibly practical baby gifts, I know you. You are the Messiah. And my soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has begun to rejoice in God my Savior. You, who are growing in wisdom and stature and might and favor, you will do great things. Holy is your name. Amen.
Let's take a few minutes of reflection. And then afterwards, we invite those who feel so led to come up and share.